So right now we actually have a guest, and the guest's name is Jan Irving. Like I said, he is the founder of Hemperer.net, which is an information site with so much information it will spin your head. So right now we're going to pull Jan up. Jan? Hello, Jan?
Yes, Patrick. How are you doing this, I guess, for you this afternoon?
Yeah, it's afternoon, morning there, and that's the amazing thing about the world is it's always a different time somewhere else. And the good thing about Philadelphia here is now we have an opportunity to make a little time up for the left side because I don't know if I told you, but it's a little tight around here. You know what I mean? You can really feel it when a little bit of freedom gets out, and that's what we're trying to do.
It's not like California. You guys got a lot of freedom out there.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that. We just had Mr. Schwarzenegger.
You have a new governor.
Yeah. Last night, so my freedom, I'm not too happy about that.
You almost
morning,
be pumped up.
Yeah, I actually, I did a little Arnold impression. I said that his first order of business is to legalize steroids, and second is to legalize polygamy, so.
I actually heard that. That was pretty funny.
Oh, thanks. what I'm going to try to do here is I'm going to try and point at certain things on your website that I think are pertinent to this area, because, like I said, we get no information out here. And maybe you can help us out and say, let's just decide the action. And the number here, I'm sorry, 610-667-WNWR. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 1 to 2 open minds.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is start off by spelling out the URL address of my website. It's THEHEMPEROR.net. So, anybody having trouble finding it this morning, just thehemperer.net.
Yeah, it's very insightful, too. I checked it out yesterday. I actually put in hemperer.net, but the Google search, I found it real easy. It came right up.
Right.
Yeah, and where did you get that name, actually?
Well, you guys mentioned Jack Herr a little bit ago. Jack Herr has been a friend of mine for over 11 years now. And back in 96, I was just getting on the Internet, and I was sitting there in a copy of The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Jack Herr's book was sitting on the floor in front of me. And it just dawned on me. The Hemperer, Jack's book is based on hemp, and that's kind of how it got started.
Now, can you explain a little bit about hemp and what hemp is?
Well, hemp is basically the real name of the cannabis sativa plant, which is today called marijuana, a name that was basically created in the 1920s and 30s so that people wouldn't know the real facts behind hemp, which was our nation's primary industrial crop since its inception until basically the 1930s. It was on a decline from about the 1870s on because of the end of slavery. It was a very hard crop to produce up until the decorticating machine was invented, and at the I believe 1917 or so, the decorticating machine was was invented that basically revolutionized the hemp industry, just like the cotton did to the cotton industry.
The cotton gin. Yeah, and what does the machine do? Does that separate the fibers of the plant?
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. Basically, you put the hemp in on one side, and it breaks it, and out the other side, you get the fiber, and it drops the woody core and cellulose to the down to the floor, and you pick everything up, and the cellulose goes for plastics and bedding, and can make everything from things like in France they use hemp to produce what is called isochondra, which is basically a cement that comes from mixing hemp herds and limestone together. And there's actually bridges in France that are over 800 years old that are made of this, and it's about 10 times lighter than cement and about 10 times stronger as well.
My big question is why? Why? Why is hemp illegal? Is it because of big business?
Well,
they can't control the hemp?
I think it's definitely because of big business. You have companies like the DuPont Company and William Randolph Hearst, first newspaper company, that were worried about the invention of this decorticating machine, so they created the Reefer Madness propagandas of the 1930s, and Harry J. Anslinger, basically, who was a family member through Andrew Mellon, who was connected with the DuPont family and the Hearst Company, basically conspired together to outlaw hemp to protect DuPont's future interests, as well as William Randolph Hearst's newspaper industry, because he was threatened, because, you know, 1 acre of hemp produces as much paper as 4.1 acres of trees in the same amount of time. So that was a huge threat to Hearst, who owned huge amounts of timber lands that he intended on using for paper. And in 1901, the U.S. Government did a study on sources for paper, and they determined that hemp was far and above the number one source for creating paper.
And the hemp that you're speaking of is the same hemp today that is still produced and made into many different things, but for some reason just not in this country.
Correct.
So our country, who is the number one polluter of the world, is the number one taker of antidepressants and pharmaceuticals in the world, is also the only people basically in the world right now that are shutting the only thing that can save the planet. And like I said before on a show, if anybody out there wants to make $100,000, and like I said, people on Fear Factor eat some pretty disgusting stuff for $50,000. All you got to do is prove Jack Herrera wrong. Okay.
It's funny that you said that, because you're talking about Joe Rogan, who's a friend of both Jack and mine.
Well, Joe's. How do you know Joe?
Joe's a cool dude.
Well, I met
the
Joe
Man Show
at Jack's place back in February, and we've been friends ever since. In fact, I did a major interview, which you can find on my website, available on the She Remembers Audio Archives page, that was done with the four of us, with James Arthur, Jack Hare, Joe Rogan, and myself. We go really heavy into some deep stuff. The original recording was about 10 or 11 hours long. I believe it was 7 hours after we edited it.
Can you tell me, was there any stimulants used during the interview?
No, none whatsoever, except, you know, we've all got health issues that we are able under California Prop 215 to use cannabis legally.
Well, I applaud that prop, and New Jersey and Pennsylvania here, I actually was going to go to the City Council of Philadelphia and propose that we become the first city that just doesn't look at it as, you know, criminal,
right.
And the cops turn their head. And every time I said this on one of the local radio stations, they laughed erratically at me.
They call him a doper.
Yeah, oh, I actually
You're
had
a dope.
Right.
Well, I told you about that when I told the fella the problem is, you know, the criminalization. You got to decriminalize the drugs, and then you'll stop the problem. And he proceeded to call me a dope head and a doper.
Well,
so,
yeah, you know, you can just look at countries like Holland, who have had decriminalized drugs for over 20 years, and they've got the lowest drug use rate of 12 to 18 year olds in the Western world.
And Holland also. They don't look at, let's say, cannabis in the light they do here. I'll give you an example. My mom, she's a little older, and she actually said to me the other day, I never would smoke cigarettes because my mother always told me there could be a little pot in there. And the funniest thing is the cigarette's the dangerous part of the equation.
Right.
But she is fooled into believing that there's a little pot in there, and I could screw her for the rest of her life. When you're watching these commercials, Jan, what do you feel? I don't know if you've seen any of the pot commercials today, and they especially
harmless.
Put them on around here. They have a young girl in the toilet. She's crying, and they switch to the parents, and they say, "We're the youngest grandparents in the neighborhood," and
it's because of pot. Yeah.
And it's because of pot.
Right. Yeah,
we actually just made a song 2 days ago.
We've got a new commercial that's running out here in California that shows, they have a car accident on the screen, and then they say, marijuana is not as safe as you originally thought. And what they're basing this on is that a certain number of people are found with, and after fatal accidents are found with marijuana in the system. The only problem with that is that marijuana stays in the system for 30 days.
Right.
And by doing a drug test on these people has no bearing whatsoever whether
or not they're
under the influence of marijuana during the time of the accident.
How about how many of these fatal accidents are caused by liquor or beer?
Well,
yeah, there's thousands of people buying it every day.
It's the number two killer in the country, not including fatal accidents and murders, which it's considered
65% of all the murders.
It's on my website on the Drug War Facts page. I believe that 80% of, for nearly 80% of all fatal accidents and murders are alcohol related.
And you also, you had told me that you were a shaman, is that correct?
Yes, I am a shaman.
Can you explain to the people in Philadelphia what a shaman is? Because the problem in Philadelphia, like I said, is it's so conservative, the word shaman is thrown around like it's, you know, some sort of occultist or some sort of Satanist.
Well, shamanism is actually the world's oldest religion. It predates all religious dogmas and practices. Basically, shamanism was created around the development of consciousness, and in fact, James Arthur and I, and also another philosopher who died a couple years ago, Terence McKenna, we all have some pretty good foundation now with new research put out by Dr. Rick Strassman a couple years ago, which you can find on my website, that that there's now a very large consideration towards thinking that entheogens, or they're also called psychedelics. Entheogen means to generate the God within. The word psychedelic means to make the mind clear or visible. And so basically, with this new evidence or research by Dr. Rick Strassman, who found that the pineal gland, which is the only non-dualistic organ in the human brain, produces the world's most powerful psychedelic drug, DMT, right in the center of our brains. And in fact, the human brain spends 10% of all of its energy just transporting this DMT drug around the brain so that, you know, to make sure that we have enough of it. So, you know, literally, we're in a psychedelic state of consciousness all the time. And what's interesting is these entheogenic plants, or sacraments, or psychedelics, however you want to call them, are all, or many of them are very similarly or closely related to DMT, like psilocin and psilocybin found in various types of, like cubensis mushrooms, etc., is almost identical, except I believe it's a hydrogen attachment to the molecule that's the only difference between it and DMT produced naturally in the brain. And,
wow.
And psilocybin and psilocin is actually one of the few drugs, including DMT, that's absorbed directly through the blood-brain barrier with no resistance whatsoever. So our brains love it and eat it up.
Yeah,
and what I was getting at before is there's starting to come to light that as a living organism develops from the amoeba into several celled organisms up through the evolutionary scale, the first thing that it produces, basically an amoeba, is a food tube, and on the back of this food tube outcrops the pineal gland. And then
that's the first sign of a
multicelled organism, basically, is this pineal gland.
The pineal gland looks like a pine cone, correct?
Yes.
It's the only, and just to explain to the people a little bit more basically in Philadelphia here, the pineal gland's the only part of the brain that touches both parts of the brain. It's directly in the center of the brain, and what happens is the pineal gland actually starts to build scar tissue young in life in America here, right after children learn about the reality of Santa Claus.
Right. Well, not only that, but fluoride that's in all of our waters is known to calcify the pineal gland.
So calcifying basically means
shutting it down.
There you go.
You have to realize that under this research by Dr. Rick Strassman, the pineal gland was literally discovered to be the third eye. It's got a cornea and a retina, etc. If you look at lizards, in fact, I was looking at this iguana last week, that right on the top of the head, these lizards have the pineal gland right there at the surface, and it senses light and things. And it's still used by those animals. But basically, as animals evolve, the pineal gland seems to vicissitate outcroppings around itself, like further layers of brain and limb, so that it can help itself acquire more tryptamines or more entheogens.
So, Jan, another thing that I actually wanted to get to in your website was you had a great deal about the 9-1-1 incident. I know here in Philadelphia, it really hit close to home since we were directly in the center of everything that was happening.
Right.
Out in California, you're looking at it from a little bit more, I'd say, the outside. How does the people in California or you see the events that happened that day?
Well, I think most of the people out here believes that it was just a bin Laden, or now because of the media propaganda, bin Laden / Saddam Hussein conspiracy against the U.S.
So the people there believe almost like the people here do?
Yes.
Now, how about you personally? I mean, I know you have done some investigations, a lot of reading, a lot of watching of videos, and you even have all these things posted on your website so people can get this information themselves. What opinion have you formed of September 11, 2001?
Well, I don't know that I've formed a solid conclusion. I can tell you what I've come across on the path. On the way, I discovered that in the 1940s, Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush were stockholders along with the aid of the Bin Laden family and the Union Banking Corporation, who was basically the primary financial institution for the Nazis in World War II. I discovered that after World War II, the Bush family actually had gotten busted for treason for helping to fund the Nazis, and they had four of their shipping corporations seized. Bush family used the Wall Street law firm Sullivan and Cromwell, who also happens to be the Bin Laden family's law firm, and their lawyers were Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, the infamous Dulles brothers, which now in Washington, D.C., you have Dulles Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Dulles negotiated the deal with General Reinhard Gehlen for the surrender of the Nazis, and General Reinhard Gehlen trained Alan Dulles and Theodore Shackley and George Bush Sr., all for their head of the CIA, and so that's basically the origins of the CIA is through the Gestapo and General Reinhard Gehlen and us taking under Operation Paperclip all of these ex-Nazi officials and using them to train our personnel. And what I personally feel is that the CIA was, and our government was, infiltrated by these people after Operation Paperclip, I think Bush and these people are very likely directly connected. If you follow the, most people
the
don't know
trail.
That the only plane allowed to leave the United States on that was a non-military plane was the Bin Laden family's private jet on September 12, 2001. That was the only plane allowed to leave this country.
John, you're telling me that everybody else in America was stuck in whatever city they were in, yet we were transporting the Bin Laden family out of this country?
Yes, about 20 to 24 members of the Bin Laden family, I believe, and here we're blaming Osama Bin Laden, but I almost feel like the Bin Laden family was here to watch the fireworks.
Where was Osama bin Laden on September 11th, do you know?
Well, nobody seems to know that. Nobody seems to know where he is now. There's no Saddam, there's no Osama, there's no weapons. And what we did have, prior to 9/11 was a military buildup by Bush on the borders of Afghanistan, I think approximately 2 months before, to go into Afghanistan. And they've had with UNICAL this proposed pipeline deal to run a oil pipeline from Tajikistan all the way to the coast of Syria.
And UNICAL used to be called, for everybody, Union Oil.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just to let you know. And Union, obviously, Union Bank was the investor that started Union Oil. This is something I learned.
Well, that's a new connection for me then. So Union Oil and Union Banking Corporation are directly tied.
That
may be a very good explanation right there.
Yeah, George Bush sits on the board of the Federal Reserve, one of the banks, and I got to explain something to everybody. The only way the Federal Reserve can make money in our country is the further that this country goes into debt.
The Federal Reserve system is actually illegal under the Constitution. It allows foreign investment into our monetary system, which is strictly prohibited. President Woodrow Wilson, when he signed the Federal Reserve Act into effect in 1913, signed in his diary that he unwittingly destroyed this country. And basically, when we look at this multi-trillion-dollar national debt, most of that debt is accumulated for the use of our own money. When you look at your money, it says a note. A note, literally in banking terms, means a debt. So they took us off the silver and gold standard and put us on a work standard so that we would compete by labor with other nations. And basically, have a debt for using our own money to the stockholders of the Federal Reserve Bank.
And do you know anything about 1933 when monetary power was signed over to the Federal Reserve? And that's the year that the $1 bill was actually recreated. And if you look at the back of the $1 bill, everybody, you're going to see a pyramid on the left-hand side. And that pyramid, above it and below it, has Latin writing. And
Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Yeah, and for some reason, we speak English here.
Right. Just about 13 letters?
Not only that, well, it's actually an ancient Masonic symbol, and the number 13 is very, very common. If you count the steps of the pyramid, there's 13 steps there. And the 13, like I said, the 13 is an ancient Masonic symbol, which predates back to the Knights Templar. And
Is this a Masonic lodge?
Basically, the Knights Templar were, you can find them in any ancient history book or whatever. The Knights Templar were an organization to quote unquote protect Christian pilgrims going into the Holy Land, and eventually the Knights Templar they were banned in I think the late 1300s, and a lot of them were executed. The supposed execution date happened to be Friday the 13th, so that's why today we have the Friday the 13th is a bad day. It's because of the ties with this nation and the Masons, which were created directly through the Knights Templar.
Yeah, I know a couple of years ago I read a book that affected me greatly. It was called Behold a Pale Horse.
Okay.
And in the beginning of the book, towards the beginning, the fellow who writes it had said that his life had been made an attempt on twice, and that if he were to be killed, that you would point the finger towards the Masons, and he specifically said this in his book. Now, I don't know exactly what he means by it, but I tried to contact him, and he was shot dead on his front lawn by federal agents less than a year ago. Is that right?
I remember him being shot dead. I didn't realize it was by federal agents.
Yeah, it was actually by federal agents. I was talking to a fella. He does a money thing, and he's going to send me some tapes, and he's a good friend of his, and he said that the people are still up in arms about it. I don't really want to get anybody in trouble here, so that's why, I'm explaining to everybody there's some dangerous things out there and dangerous people who are not to be messed with or are to be messed with, and that's why I'm doing this show.
Illuminati.
The thing that I learned is the Great Seal is actually the seal of somebody called Adam Weishaupt, who started something called the Illuminati in 1776, and that's the date on that pyramid. It says 1776. That's not July 4th. That's May 1st that they're claiming there. So you'll see it's not July 4th, 1776, the date. It's actually...
Well, if I may interject here.
Yes.
I've thought a lot about the Illuminati. I haven't in my 12 years of research come across anything firm to suggest that the Illuminati, quote-unquote, is involved in this. I think... that when you start digging into occult mysteries and ancient mythology and understanding ancient symbolism, like if you click on the caduceus on the top left of the main part of theemperor.net, it'll take you to another website of mine called the pharmacraticinquisition.com. And basically what that website is it's the beginnings of a book that I'm working on called The Pharmacratic Inquisition. And when you begin to realize that the politics and the secret societies and the ancient or occult just means secret mysteries, are all tied together. And, that's how shamanism kept coming into play, because a lot of the ancient symbology of these secret societies is directly in entheogen related. You can find, like, you'll see some pictures on pharmacraticinquisition.com that are pictures from various ancient religions depicting very clearly mushroom usage, including and especially Christianity, which I'm sure James Arthur and Jack Hare went over on your show last week.
Yeah, 100% they did.
I think, that a lot of the secret symbology is more geared towards the enlightened states or the illumined ones brought on by in theogens. So you have the Illuminati, or the illuminated ones, or basically the people controlling or creating, pushing forth the pharmacratic inquisition. And pharmacratic, pharm means drug, and cratic means ruling. So you have the drug ruling inquisition, which is still continued today with the war on drugs.
And that's chemical drugs. That's not natural drugs, right?
Well, shamanism is technically illegal in this country, you know.
And
the Native Americans have had a very hard fight to maintain their religious practices, which is literally the oldest religion in the world. And, they have a really tough time practicing their peyote rites and things like that, and being raided and having their sacraments taken from them. And it's basically people, you know, who don't understand what they are condemn others because it's different.
Or is it that they do understand what they are and they want to take them away from us because they can be valuable?
Right. And that's what the pharmacratic inquisition is. It's basically, I'm looking for a needle in the haystack, trying to prove that the current paradigm has information about the entheogens today. But what I think is that somewhere along the line, the paradigm actually fell prey to its own propaganda. And they started believing their own lies through the generations and lost the original secret knowledge of the entheogens and the occult mysteries.
You know, Jack alluded to the fact that the people who are higher up in the church are used to or currently are taking the Amanita Mascara.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the point I'm trying to actually get at here. People, the ones that are doing it are the ones that are telling you not to do it.
Exactly.
And the problem there lies in the fact that that is the connection with God. I know that a lot of people who take the psilocybin or the Amanita Mascara, they say they have a bad experience in the mushrooms. And generally, I don't want to say it like this, but it's like the mirror is turning on you when you take it. You know, when you go to confession, this is almost like confession.
Well, yeah, you know, and I'll say very clearly, I've done entheogens over 900 times, and I will put it very simply to the listeners that bad trips are purely fear and ego related. The entheogens make you face aspects of yourself that you don't want to face, and if you try and fight them, they will beat you up, basically.
Yeah, 100%. You know? And, that, you know, I was trying to explain that to somebody the other day. They really couldn't grasp the fact that confession is not going to some guy who you don't really know and telling him what you've done. Confession is facing yourself and facing what you are.
Exactly.
And the only way to do that is look inside.
Since you're bringing up the Catholic Church and confession, in fact, the cracker and the wine that the Catholics use in the ceremonies is literally in representation of manna or the mushroom, and you drink the wine, which is in resemblance of drinking Jesus' blood. Well, Jesus being the Amanita Muscaria mushroom, either these people were all cannibals, or like every other culture on ancient culture on Earth, or nearly every other, they called the mushrooms the flesh of God. So, like in Mexico in the Mayan culture, they have Teonacatl, which literally means flesh of the gods, and that's their word for mushroom.
Well, speaking of you were speaking of wine a little bit, we got to go to a commercial here, and it's of a great bar called Eli's Bar. Ladies, check this out. This is the type of product you'll get if you advertise on the Open Mind Show. We give it our all here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a good example of what type of advertising you'll get here. The computer screwed up there and didn't give us the vocal part of the commercial. We have a great commercial for Eli's Bar, but I'm going to tell you about Eli's Bar. You know, Eli's Bar is on Bridge and the Boulevard. It's a friend of mine actually that owns it, and he treats you right. They got good food. They got beautiful girls there. They have wine, champagne. I mean, you'll love it. One day I was over there at Eli's Bar, and I'm going to tell you a little story what happened. I'm sitting down, and me and my wife were having a conversation. Okay, my wife is from Brazil. And I turned to her and I said, you know, isn't Eli's Bar great? I really enjoy it here, da-da-da. And she looked at me, she says, are you looking at that girl? And I said, no, I'm not looking at that girl, because at Eli's Bar, though, there's so many beautiful women that your wife will think that you're looking at them. Okay? And I told her Lorena Bobbitt story. I said, honey, you know, you can't be so jealous. You know, this thing happened in America one time. This lady Lorena Bobbitt did this. And she says, so this happens all the time in Brazil. So I'd watch yourself if you have a South American wife or, you know, a Spanish wife. Because You know, wear some jockeys to bed, and keep yourself safe. And Eli's Bar, Bridge and the Boulevard. We're going to go back to the guest now. Hello, Jan?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Our commercial got a little screwy there. I had to do a live read. Yeah, and is there anything that you... We only have, like, about 8 minutes left here. Is there anything that you think, say, is the most important part of your site?
Well, the most important part, I would say, would be the shamanism, because once someone has the shamanic experience, they can no longer be fooled by the television propaganda and the media and our politicians and the system that we have. And I think that that is the largest threat to the system, is people having their pineal gland open and their literally their third eye open and seeing what there is, you know. And you know, and I know that there are many out there listening that, you know, think that it's a psychotic episode or whatever you want to call it. But when you do something like, say, for, you know, another chemical which contains DMT, which is also produced naturally in the brain, it's called ayahuasca. And when you and a group of friends melt together and don't even need to open your mouths to communicate and are in total, for lack of a better word, communion with each other, total melting of souls, so to speak, it totally breaks down the ability to call it a psychotic episode.
It probably also...
I think once people begin to awaken their minds and see the world from this other dimension or whatever it is, you know, we don't know what it is, but, you know, it's, I definitely think all the ancient cultures in the world had it right, and we've got it wrong with our dogmatic religions. But once we see, everything else starts to fall into place. The political science, the hemp, and which is an ancient story in and of itself. In fact, the word cannabis means two dogs, which you can trace back 6,000 years to the Ethiopian Coptic Zion Church, which they believe man and cannabis, or two dogs, came from the two-dog star Sirius constellation. And 6,000 years later, we still call cannabis two dogs. That's
wow.
What Cana and Bis means, is two dogs.
Have you ever heard the, and I've read this in Jack's book, King Solomon, every Friday night at their ceremonies, would pass around 20,000 incense burners filled with cannabis.
Yes.
For the people to actually have the ceremony. So what they were doing is they were praying and doing a sacrament rather than sitting in church and praying. And I forget exactly what James called it, where he, you know, they pass their hand over a piece of bread and they make it holy. That doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. God makes holy items for you.
They're giving people placebos today and telling them that they have to have faith, and if it doesn't work, well, then they don't have faith. So then the person leaves church that day thinking, oh, well, I ate the cracker and I didn't have enough faith today, and I'm not going to say anything. And then they go about their mundane, brainwashed, controlled lives, following these religious paradigms, not realizing that it's basically a facade. And if they, learn what the real cracker is, or, you know, what manna in the Bible means, or what the serpent in the Bible means.
What does the serpent mean?
You know, and it's an interesting point that when you read the book of Genesis in the Bible, on a side note here, that, you know, if, when you're reading the book of Genesis, who lies? Does the serpent lie or does God lie?
The serpent.
You know, and well, we're told that the serpent lies, except yet the serpent is the one that tells Eve that if she eats the the fruit of the tree, that, that she's going to be like God. And then God tells her she's going to die. Well, she eats it and she becomes like God. So it's interesting that the serpent was the one that told the truth, which you can trace all the way back to the stories of Enlil and Enki.
Right.
And Enki was the banished god, who was the god of love and compassion and caring, and Enlil was the god of war and hate and jealousy.
Well, Jan, we only have, say, like 1 minute left here on the show, but you've been Superman, and like I said, the hemperor.net, that's the THEHEMPEROR.net.
Yeah. If I may real quick tell them about a few of my other websites that I've got. I already mentioned one, pharmacraticinquisition.com.
Okay.
I've also got hempforfuel.com, where you can read about the $100,000 challenge information on using hemp for fuel and even making your own hemp or fuel at home. And I also run a website for companies that do not drug test, that do not violate our constitutional rights, which is called nontesterslist.com.
Hey, and Jan, since we only got a little bit of time left here, I want to see if I can get Joe Rogan maybe. If he's got any free time, you can give him a call. You know, we'd love to have somebody like him on the show too, and tell him I won't eat anything that he gives me, but I'll definitely give him some time on my show.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't bring up Fear Factor, he'll love you.
Yeah, I totally won't.
The man show. We like the man show.
I want to know what he's about, you know, and so you have my number, and I have your number, and you can call here. We're on every Wednesday and Thursday from 1 to 2 anytime you want, Jan.
Yeah, all right, well, thank you much for having me on today.
Thanks, Jan.
All right,
great
bye-bye.
Day.
Thank you, Herbalist.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Open Mind Show here. We're on every Wednesday and Thursday. I thank everybody for their calls today at 610-667-WNWR. Stay tuned for the Irv Homer Show. This is Open Minds.
Herbalist.